You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to a show called Dangerfield on 101.5 The Hawk FM out of Hamilton, Ontario. My guest tonight is guitarist Ian Dougherty. Ian plays guitar in two Canadian bands, Dwayne Gretzky and July Talk. In Dwayne Gretzky, he's part of a 10-plus piece band with a repertoire of over 600 songs. With a loyal fan base, they play lively shows for their dedicated fans, and they reinvent classics as covers. Ian's main gig is in a Canadian band where he also plays guitar called July Talk. July Talk was nominated for Breakthrough Group of the Year at the 2014 Juno Awards. They've won Alternative Album of the Year twice at the Junos, in 2015 for their self-titled album July Talk, and in 2017 for their album Touch. Their debut album and singles Guns and Ammunition and Push and Pull are all certified gold. In July of last year, the band released their latest album, Pray For It. So welcome to the show, Ian.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
Thanks for joining. Let's start off the show with a song off of your latest album. Let's play this song, Pay For It. I really love that song. And it's off the album, Pray For It, which came out in July 2020. So let's play that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more, okay?
Cool.
Thank you.
That was Pay For It off the album Pray For It by the band July Talk. And you're listening to 101.5 FM The Hawk. I'm Mary, and my guest tonight is Ian Dougherty, guitar player for July Talk. So Ian, that your album that we're talking about, Pray For It. So the song that we just heard, you released the video for it start of April in 2020, and that was kind of when the lockdown of COVID was just starting. And so, what was it like to put out a new album in a year of lockdown? What was that like?
It was definitely weird.
Yeah.
Certainly more used to like putting out an album and then it's like time to tour. Mm. So as far as that goes, it was essentially the opposite of any album that we've put out before.
And is it the longest that you've gone without touring in pretty much a decade, I would say?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the longest that I've gone without like really playing any shows. Like I've done like, I don't know, 5 shows this whole year and all like kind of weird remote or like our drive-in show. Like it's all been these kind of strange versions of shows, nothing like what I'm used to.
And so the drive-in show that you did, your band was the first band like in Canada that actually announced a live date since when the lockdown happened. And so I guess it was around May that you announced that you were going to be playing 2 shows on August 12th and 13th and at a drive-in. And so how did you guys, how did you pick the locations? The location was the Stardust Drive-In in Sharon, Ontario. So can you talk a little bit about like how it all kind of came to be? Like how did you pick the location? How did the whole thing start?
Well, I guess it was like, I don't know exactly who had the initial idea. Mm-hmm. I know it would have been like Leia and Peter. And I think actually Emily, who works for our management company, I think it was possibly her idea initially for the thing. So it was like pretty early on, we just knew we were like, we're going to need to do something. Like we're releasing an album. There's going to be no touring. You know, we've spent all this money and put all this time into making this piece of art. Like we're going to have to do something. So it was just one of those kind of like, all right, great. This is a way to have any sort of like press happening and any sort of like hoopla around the thing going on. As far as like picking the venue, I don't really know how that came about. I think it was just kind of like, honestly, like looking up drive-in movie theaters because that was the idea and just like calling companies and just doing it until one was like, yeah, this will work. So I don't think it was like purposely at the Sharon one. That right. was just the one that worked out.
And so how did you guys come up with your set list for that show? So it was 90 minutes that you played and mm-hmm. like, what was that like coming up with that?
That was pretty normal. It was mm-hmm. kind of like just a mixture of obviously wanting to play a bunch of stuff from Pray For It, but at the same time, just playing kind of regular repertoire. So, you know, it was just like important to play songs that we all wanted to play, but also mm-hmm. songs that we thought people would want to hear.
And what was the rehearsal for that like? So how many cameras did you have filming it? You guys did a live, like pay-per-view viewing of it, and yeah. How many cameras did you have?
I think it was 10 in total.
How did you rehearse for something like that? Was it? Did you rehearse at the drive-in, or was it like off-site somewhere? How did that work?
Yeah, so we did. Like leading up to it, during Gretzky, we have like a rehearsal space in the city. Mm-hmm. Cause often like July Talk, like for years, we haven't had a rehearsal space cause we haven't exactly needed it because we've just been like touring like crazy. And if it really came to like needing a big rehearsal, we would just be like renting a facility for, you know, like a week or something to do like production rehearsals. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we hadn't leading up to that show, we hadn't played a show in like 8 months or whatever at that point. Like, I'm not even sure what the nearest show to that show was. So we just like borrowed the space from Dwayne Gretzky for a month, and just the five of us just were in there rehearsing every day for a month. And then at the end of it, we were like rented, I guess it's like an audio visual place. Not actually a normal rehearsal spot, but just a place with like a big room that, you know, us and crew could be in there, and it can be like as absolutely safe as possible. And did that for, I think, 3 days, which was mostly just to get like up and running, make sure all the audio stuff was going to work, make sure the cameras and stuff were going to work. And then, yeah, just like the day before the first show, we were there all day, just kind of playing through songs while the cameras were doing their thing and just kind of figuring stuff out. So we would just like go through songs that were like important ones that had like cues in the show, because there was some stuff that was like pre-rehearsed, I guess, in a way. Mm-hmm. Pre-rehearsed is the wrong way to put it, but there was like, for example, the news started with this shot where Leia was up behind Danny on the drums. So that was about as rehearsed as we were, was that she was up and starting back there, like that kind of thing. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like completely freeform. But it was just making sure that those kind of cues were getting hit.
And what was your favorite song? Like, what was your favorite song on the first night, for example, that you played? Like, what was your, did you have like a moment each night that kind of stood out for you?
That's a good question. Well, the first night, actually, the very first song, I completely missed the canon to everything. So I missed like the first 30 seconds of the song. I was just like lost, because it had been so long since we played a show. It was kind of like,
likely not your favorite part, but maybe.
No, but it was one of those just like, this is classic. I haven't played in like almost a year, and then I just missed the beginning of the show.
You were watching the movie.
Yeah, exactly. I was a little dumbfounded.
So you've got some pretty cool guitars. So there's I saw on your Instagram once that, for those just joining, you're listening to Dangerfield on 101.5 FM The Hawk. And my guest tonight is Ian Doherty from the band July Talk. You can listen to their music. You can find them online at www.julytalk.com or instagram.com/julytalk. Ian, I was just mentioning how you've got some really cool guitars. So I saw on your Instagram once you had like a custom guitar made by a woman named Cindy. It's called Cindy Guitars. She's from New York. And is it true that the wood of your guitar is from the Chelsea Hotel?
Yeah. So that first one was this guitar called like a cathedral guitar. That's what she had called it initially, because I found her stuff on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And had like messaged her a bit about this guitar, which she initially didn't really want to sell, because it was one of the like first guitars she ever made. It was almost more of like a calling card than it was like actually a thing to buy. And I just kind of convinced her that was like the guitar I wanted. So I eventually got that from her.
So I've seen a picture of it, and is the cathedral like wood, is it burned, like etched into it, or?
Yeah. So all the guitars she makes, all the wood is like this reclaimed stuff from old buildings in New York, like for example, the Chelsea Hotel. And she takes it and builds these wacky guitars and then burns in these like super intricate, crazy designs that look amazing.
Wow. And so you have two of them. So you have one called the Cathedral, and what, tell me a little bit about the second one.
So the second one, we were just like kind of brainstorming about what we should do aesthetic wise for the second one. And so we decided it would be kind of interesting to like maybe zoom in onto that cathedral. So the second one has all these like gargoyles and like scenes that are kind of like similar to those old, really, really old, like kind of churchy, crazy, like Satan paintings. It's kind of harder to describe, but I'm sure you've seen them in like art galleries, like the crazy, crazy old paintings of like demons that look really weird and scary from like way back in the day that like weird religious stuff that honestly, it has nothing to do with religion or anything like that. We were just like, oh, you know, the first one was the cathedral. So maybe it's kind of interesting to and like zoom in and there's like a gargoyle on the cathedral and then we'll just draw a bunch of gargoyles and have fun with it.
Cool. And how do they play? Do you play them often or?
Yeah, the cathedral I played like crazy for a bunch of years. And I kind of just, I had stopped using it on tour because I was like afraid of like losing those kind of guitars, which is maybe a bit silly. Like I'm starting to change my mind on that kind of thing. I'll probably go back to playing that guitar all the time when I can live. But yeah, I love them both. And they both do completely different things. They're very, very different, weird sounding guitars and way different than any guitars I own.
How old were you when you started playing guitar?
That's a good question. Maybe like 14, 13 or 14 kind of thing.
And did you start on acoustic and then
like? Yeah, there was like at the public school I went to, there were these like classical guitars that you could just take out anytime you wanted. So I used to just like goof around on those things until eventually my parents like rented a guitar for me with like lessons to just see if that was something I wanted to do. And then once I did enough lessons and was having fun with it, they bought me this like little Seagull acoustic. And then I just kind of went from there.
And do you still have all the guitars that you've ever owned?
No, I've sold a few over the years, but I still have the first two that I ever owned. And yeah, they're kind of cool.
And what type of guitar do you generally play?
Generally something in like a Gibson Les Paul kind of style is my go-to, something with like a big fat neck and that's heavy, which as I'm getting older, that's like not great for your back. So I'm starting to change that whole thing, but
you'll be on air guitar by the end of the day.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So let's play another song off your latest album. Why don't we play, let's play Governess Shadow. So you're listening to Dangerfield on the Hawk FM. I'm with Ian Doherty, the guitar player for July Talk. So let's listen to Governess Shadow and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more, okay?
Where before the CCP
was Governor's Shadow by July Talk. I'm joined tonight with Ian Dougherty, the guitarist for that band. So Ian, that the song we just played, it's got almost like a million views on YouTube alone. And your band has been awarded a lot of like awards. I read that your band was awarded the inaugural High Fidelity Prison Prize Award for using video art to represent work in a consistently creative and innovative way. So you've done, we were talking before how you've done a lot of touring. So you've toured Canada a ton of times, States. What's your favorite city to visit when you're in the States?
That's a good question. I mean, New York is always like a really cool place to go to. It's so big. Like I don't even feel like I've seen all of New York and I've been there so many times. So that one's always really fun. I also love Austin. That's such a weird, interesting place. Salt Lake City, weirdly, is always like kind of a highlight spot on tours. There's this like awesome food spot in Salt Lake City that we love going to called the Red Iguana.
And so where's a place that touring has brought you that you kind of never imagined that you would have kind of gone to other than with music?
Yeah. I mean, we went to Poland once, which was amazing. Got to go to Warsaw. And I kind of always wanted to go there for whatever reason. I just always thought that would be a cool place to go. So it's been nice touring so much and it just ending up all over the world. Seeing all kinds of places that maybe I never would have thought to go as a trip.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? There's just so much of Europe that it's like, how do you even choose where to go if you're doing a trip? And then it's like, well, we're doing a tour, so we're just doing all of it.
Right. Well, and everything's so close there. So you can kind of, I mean, it's so much different than touring Canada where you're, you know, you can drive for like 16 hours between places.
Oh my God.
And so you played the Isle of Wight Festival in the UK?
Yeah, that was, oh God, 4 or 5 years ago now.
And who are kind of like the biggest bands that you've shared bills with, would you say?
Officially, probably the biggest one that we've ever like played right before was the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, which was a totally like strange. I never would have thought that was a band that we would ever share a stage with.
Where was that?
I was in Quebec City for Festival d'Été.
What's like, so have you toured Europe a lot?
Yeah. I don't know exactly how many times, but probably upwards of 10 times, something like that.
And I find like the culture there is so, like the arts culture there is so different. Like from my friends that have toured there, I hear like, I just feel like the venues seem to treat people just so well. Like the meals are like out of this world, I hear. Is that true?
Yeah. The like the hospitality in Europe is something completely something else. That every venue you show up at, they've got something nice and ready for you and set up, and it's such a like a lovely way to kind of experience some local stuff happening. Because often it's like, you know, somebody's like grandma made the dinner, or like somebody's family member who owns the venue has like come in and set up like a whole platter, or it'll be like there's like a lot of volunteer based stuff. Mm-hmm. So it'll just be like some chef that volunteers on the weekend at this venue because they like music and they get like, you know, free concert tickets to go and make food. Awesome. So it's like, it's a really cool vibe.
And I find also too, like it sounds like a lot of people in Europe will kind of go to a venue just because they kind of trust the venue was going to bring good music to it. So I've heard a lot of people kind of being discovered in that way as well.
Yeah, certainly. The venues are definitely more of like a promoter there is respected for their like whatever taste that they're going to bring in a band. So you'll play tons of shows where it's like, there's like nobody's heard the music here that's at the show. They're just here because the promoter has, you know, put out the feelers.
And have you guys ever had like reviews written of you in different languages where you've had to like Google translate the reviews?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
What's that like?
generally strange because I feel like Google Translate's not all that accurate. I mean, like, as it would be like pretty hard for a computer to totally get the nuances of languages, but it can be really funny how things get translated.
Let's listen to another song off your latest album. Let's listen to Good Enough. And so this is Good Enough by July Talk, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more, okay?
Sweet.
Lovely. July Talk off the album Pray For It. And my guest tonight is Ian Dougherty, guitarist for that band. Ian, you also play guitar in a band called Dwayne Gretzky. And so that's like a kind of a cast of, is it like kind of revolving group of musicians, often depending on kind of who's in town, right? Because you...
Yeah, to an extent.
And so who, like what other bands are in, or what other folks are in that band that play in other bands?
Well, we've got Nick and Tyler, who are kind of like the band leaders. They're kind of the two that are always going to be at the show, no matter what show you're seeing. Those are the two people that will be there. They used to have a band called Sweet Thing, like years and years ago, who were very good. We've got Dave Dalrymple, who plays bass. He has a band called Wax Atlantic. He's also played with bands like Brave Shores. Simeon Abbott, who plays keys. He is a band called Issy, which is like a cool like synth pop kind of group with his partner, Elliot. Mike Brushy, who plays drums in the band. He has like played with so many artists over the years. I don't even know how many. He's just like one of those people who's played drums for a lot of people, as well as our other drummer, Adam Hindle, kind of the same thing. He's just played with a ton of bands, most notably probably Born Ruffians. He played drums for a few years for them. Then you got like Jill Harris and Lydia Prasad and Meg Contini. They have a group called the Au Pairs, which is this amazing like vocal group, like often doing a cappella kind of stuff. And it's pretty stunning, crazy music. You have people like Carly Akins, who has her own music and has like sang with kind of all kinds of crazy people. Like she's sung backups for Macy Gray and Jack Johnson and who knows who else. Tons and tons of people. James Robertson, he plays guitar in the band. He's also played with tons and tons of artists, probably most notably like Lindy Ortega, who's pretty rad. Who am I forgetting?
It's like asking like a grandparent to meet other grandkids or something.
So many members.
And so you guys have had some pretty cool experiences. So I guess first of all, so for those that want to check out Dwayne Gretzky, it's spelled with a W. So it's on Instagram. It's instagram.com/DWAYNE_Gretzky. And so you guys just put out your first album. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah. I forget exactly when it came out. Maybe last year in the fall-ish, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a kind of a reinterpreting cover. So obviously it's a cover band. Mm-hmm. And we're not writing music per se. Although some of us do write music on the side together. But in this case, we just decided it would be kind of fun to try and reinterpret old classics. So for example, take like a Cars tune and try and play it like, you know, Tom Petty would maybe play it, like that kind of idea. Or we did like a Queens of the Stone Age song and we're like, how would Spoon play this song?
Cool.
So just like trying to do that kind of thing, which is pretty fun.
And how do you like, when you come up with those ideas, do you kind of like when you play them live, do you kind of come up with the ideas to do that, you know, when you're rehearsing and then that's how you play it live? Or was that just an experiment that you did specifically for the album?
Oh yeah, it was just for the album. We were just having kind of fun with it because it's, you know, it's a ton of musicians and it's just kind of fun. Ooh. To be honest, I think some of it came from like this is like joke that we always have in sound checks. We'll often like start playing a song and then somebody will start playing the song in a weird way, like either like in a reggae style or whatever style, and like play the whole song in minor if it was a major song, for example. So it's always just been kind of a thing that we've done jokingly with each other. And then I was like, well, maybe we could turn this into something cool.
That's fun. Do you have one that we could play?
Yeah. Sure, there's a, what's the best one? Maybe like Make It With You.
So that's the Queens of the Stone Age cover?
And yeah.
Cool, let's listen to that and then we'll come back and we'll chat more.
Nice.
I can't say that I do. Don't understand the
Was Make It With You by a cover of a Queens of the Stone Age song by the Toronto-based band Dwayne Gretzky. You're listening to 101.5 FM The Hawk. I'm Mary, and tonight my guest is Ian Doherty, guitar player for Dwayne Gretzky and July Chalk. So, Ian, you've had some pretty cool experiences playing with Dwayne Gretzky. Did you play at like a Blue Jays game as the band?
Yeah, we did. I forget exactly how many times. I think I did it twice with the band. But yeah, you go in and you play as the, like, I guess the pit band during like the beginning of the show, and then at the, is it like the second, after the second inning, something like that.
Cool.
So you're just kind of, it's like very humorously short how much you play. Like you go and you're there all day, and then you play like a minute and 30 seconds for this one spot, and then a minute and 30 seconds for another spot. And that's kind of the whole gig.
and where is that on the field exactly? Is it like the, is it, I think I saw like when you guys did it, is it like the 200 level kind of, like you're in with the audience?
Yeah. So you're like basically directly across from home plate. So it's like faced right at you. And yeah, I don't know exactly what they would call it, like 200 level or not, but there's like this level where there's like a big open bar and you're just like kind of right near there. So people are like standing above you and around you kind of watching.
Right. And then did you, were you at the Stone show when Dwayne Gretzky
yep.
played? Yeah. So that was
when the Stones opened for us.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. You can say that.
Yeah.
So, for those that don't know what I'm referring to, that was at the Rolling Stone show in Barrie in 2019. And Dwayne Gretzky played after, like, so it was a camping festival. And so you guys were the show after the Stone, because I had Carly on this show actually. And we were talking about that because I remember I was like walking across the field like towards the our limo, and I remember like hearing her singing, and so that's pretty neat experience. Did you guys stay there that night? Did you guys camp out there or?
No, we didn't, but it was a super fun day. Like getting to watch the Stones was amazing, and because we were playing, we were kind of treated very awesome, and like I was like right up front for their show, which was very cool to see. Like I was like 10 feet away from the stage kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that
and
was
I got
pretty
like
amazing.
I got set list and some picks too, which is kind of cool. That was super neat. That was a great show. They were amazing. That was so great.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to see dudes that old still just giving it so hard.
Seriously. Do you still have your guitar picks? Didn't you make some custom guitar picks?
Oh, yeah. I got a pile of them at home.
They say Ian, right? E-E-N?
Yep, Ian, yeah. Which is just a dumb... One of the guys in Dwayne Gretzky always used to call me that, so that's just kind of stuck as a nickname.
Awesome. And so you guys, your band July Talk, you recently, about 3 weeks ago, put out a cover of a James song, the song Laid. Was that put out video only, or did you guys put it out? I saw it on YouTube. Did you guys release it as well, or?
No, just as a video. So that was for this Unison Benevolent Fund had like a fundraising show where a bunch of bands were all playing remotely. And so that was the thing that we filmed for that.
Cool.
And then we just decided that it was so much fun that we may as well just release the two covers that we did for that show as just like little pieces that can be live up online on YouTube.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned when you were talking about playing with Dwayne Gretzky that you're making some music with some of those guys. So like, are you making music in quarantine right now, kind of thing? Like,
Yeah. So with Dwayne, we have this like really interesting, cool kind of like, it's basically like a mezzanine in an old factory, and we've turned it into a rehearsal spot/studio. And once a week, a few of us will go in, and with no rules involved, we just go and have to write something. And so often the songs that we come up with are kind of just these whatever nonsense things. And it's become this like really fun thing because every week somebody different shows up. We never know exactly who's going to be there. It's just me and Adam, who plays drums. We're always there, and then whoever else wants to come can. And so, yeah, we've just had some real fun, and there's been some like real cool little songs that maybe we'll like make into an album. I don't know. There's no real like plans with it because we've been having so much fun not planning anything and just kind of doing it.
That's awesome. And are you recording it while you're doing it, or just kind of?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So the whole time we're just recording, and it's like me and Adam get there at like noon, record whatever, some drums, like he's just maybe had an idea on drums, we'll record that, and then I'll record something weird over it. Like often we're just trying to make stuff sound as different as we can, so we'll like, I don't know, do something weird, like record a track at half speed, and then everything gets sped up so that your guitar is like really high pitched and weird sounding, and that kind of vibe is the whole time. Yeah.
That sounds like a really good way to kind of stay creative and just keep making music.
Totally.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very fun.
So how do you take in like new, like, so when you're at home, for example, like how do you take in music or new music or anything? Like, do you listen to, you know, radio? Do you listen online? Do you read about music and then go seek it out? Like, what's your process for that?
I don't know if I specifically have a process. I think I just kind of, yeah, there'll be like maybe an article online that I'll read about somebody, you know, spark an interest in, you know, a new album. And then I guess I'll look at like related artists based on that album and just kind of find music that way. But also just like have lots of friends who are in the industry. So there's just like always like somebody recommending some new album that they've heard. That's like, you know, a friend of a friend's band.
Right.
Or just, you know, lots of friends that are just real big music nerds like you that just like know all everything. So it's just like, sweet. I'll take all the recommendations I can get.
Nice. And, so you've done a lot of touring with Canadian artists. So you've toured with everyone from like within your band July Talk. You've toured with Billy Talent, Matt Mays, Arkells, Sam Roberts, Besnard Lakes. So what's your favorite venue, would you say, that you've played in Canada?
I mean, a highlight for me for sure is Massey Hall. That was a pretty special thing to do.
And were you ever I'm just thinking about touring across Canada. Like, did you ever do a lot of the driving or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
for years.
People, yeah. That have like, that are the reliable drivers. So you're, or that end up driving the most kind of thing. Right.
Yeah. I would say Danny Miles in certainly North America, he's done the majority of that driving. And then over in Europe, it's often a mix of like Peter or me or whoever's tour managing kind of thing.
Oh, wow. So you actually do the driving in Europe. That's because a lot of people don't do, like, they'll hire a driver because it's all backwards there, right?
Yeah. I mean,
sorry, it's different. It's different.
Though. Yeah. It is definitely different and kind of weird. And we made the mistake a few times of like, you rent a van in England and it's got, you know, your driver's seat on the other side, and then the whole rest of Europe isn't like that.
Oh, right.
So it's so weird when you're making like a left-hand turn, but you're on the right side of the car. So the like passenger kind of has to look for you.
That's crazy. Which is
a bit bizarre.
And so in 2019, you guys did a cross Canada tour with Metric, and did you do the States with them as well, or no? And so, did you guys do a tour bus for that?
Yeah, that was one of the few tour bus tours that we've ever done, which was glorious and so easy.
Right. And when you guys are in the, like, when you're in the van, would you listen to, like, would you guys listen to your own music on headphones, or would you like always listen to music in the van? On the stereo.
Say, it's a bit of both. Yeah. Definitely a lot of podcasts. Those are always awesome.
Okay.
For like super long drives, like listening to whatever, like when Serial came out, we were all listening to that, which was really fun to do. Right. But yeah, certainly a lot of the like podcasty long form kind of things are great for a big long drive. But certainly like you'll listen on your own headphones too. Like it's kind of a mix of both. Cause you're also like, sometimes drives are long and you just kind of need to zone out.
Right. So that's when you listen to all your Shania Twain.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Okay. Why don't we listen to a song off of your album Touch from 2016. What song would you like to hear from that?
Maybe, hey, Lola and Joseph.
Perfect. So this is Lola and Joseph by July Talk on 101.5 FM The Hawk. That was Lola and Joseph by July Talk. And tonight I'm joined with Ian Dougherty, guitarist from July Talk. So Ian, what would you say your favorite book about music is?
Like my favorite book about music, I think the favorite one I ever read was that Keith Richards one.
Yes.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like you kind of can't not love the stories from those old idiots.
Yeah, I was surprised how honest he was about his relationship with Mick, eh? Like he was pretty like he was pretty blunt. I did not
totally.
You almost don't expect that sometimes from people, but that was a great book.
I also kind of love too that he didn't like, he clearly didn't get some like ghostwriter to make it this like super eloquent thing. Like it is kind of not like the best written book in the world, but that's what I really like about it.
Totally. And it's got some great photos. And actually he did a pretty cool thing where he made a book with his daughter. So it's like a children's book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You should get it for your niece. It's really cool. So it's illustrated by his daughter and it's the story. I'll send you the link for it.
Yes, please.
It's a story of like, I think his first guitar that, I think maybe his grandfather gave it to him or something. I bought it a while ago, but I haven't read it. But yeah, I'll send you the link to that. It's super cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
It was great to chat with you and,
you too.
Yeah. And let's keep in touch. Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay. Take care, Ian. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Mary.
Bye.
See you, bud.